welcome to Auroch Digital's How to Make a Video Game podcast. Here, you'll be entertained, informed, and enlightened by the many goings-on within the studio as we introduce you to our projects, our colleagues, and give you a little insight into how we operate. Thanks for listening in. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
Matt.
Jess.
Hello.
Hello.
So today, we are going to be talking about something that especially our communications and marketing manager has been working real hard on, as well as one of our marketing managers as well. Just the whole marketing team in general. Spectacular human beings. Love them. Steam festivals and Steam festival events and running Steam festival events. What are they? How do they work? Why do we do them? Why is it, you know, they're a lot of effort. They are a lot of work. I will not underestimate it. You know, they take months to organize and arrange and put up, and there's artists that need to be involved and panels and writing and, you know, all of these kinds of things. So why do we do them? That's kind of going to be the premise for today. But I thought I'd just probably skim through just our highlights of what we've done so far. I think we're pretty veteraned in this now.
Yeah, and if we're not veterans, then we're certainly edging towards that, because this is not our first experience of putting something like this together, is it? So
No. So it all started with Digital Tabletop Fest a couple of years ago. The first. That evolved into Digital Tabletop Fest 2. SimFest.
One.
Then we've got Digital Tabletop Fest the 3rd, Blood and Dice Edition. And we've just recently come off the cusp of the back of SimFest 2, which is absolutely fantastic. We work with some partners, Stray Fawn, who are based in Switzerland, an excellent studio. Do check them out. Giving them a shout out. Their game, The Wandering Village, is very, very good, very fun. And it was an excellent festival to be able to put on, and I really enjoyed it. And I'm doing this as though I'm taking all the credit. It was absolutely not me. It was actually our colleague Simon, marketing manager at Auroch, who took on the bulk of it. And he's fantastic. And we're, you know, as part of being a remote studio, the great thing is we have this ability to talk to all of our colleagues, not only around the country, but also around the world as well.
Yeah.
So without further ado, let's cut over to Simon and have a chat.
We've had many, 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 many voices on this pod over the 9 long seasons now. I say that like it's some sort of draining thing. It's really not. I love doing these things. But Simon, we have a new voice on the pod today. And of course, we're talking about SteamFest and whatnot. This is going to be something I know not an awful lot about, certainly not on the back end of how these things are put together. So Jess, let's build a bridge, one of your beautiful bridges for Simon to come in, introduce himself, and then we'll go straight into this lovely, lovely topic.
All right. Simon, hello. I'd like to welcome everyone listening at home to Simon's dulcet Glaswegian tones. And you want to just give a quick intro to who you are, how long you've been at Auroch, and what your role is whilst you're here, Simon.
Well, thanks very much, Jess. Yeah, always love to get a wee shout out for the Glaswegian accent. So yes, as Jess says, I'm Simon Marshall. I'm a marketing manager at Auroch Digital, and I've been part of Auroch Digital. My math isn't great, thinking about counting it back in months, but I joined in August 2022. So maybe like, is that 15 months? Yes.
Yeah, over a year.
Almost 15 months, like, yeah. So yeah, that's me.
Nice. Yeah, thank you so much, Simon, for joining us today. It's always nice to remote tune you in all the way over from Glasgow. I think probably what the best thing to do is for the folks at home, whether you're a fellow industry member, so developers or publishers, or a player at home listening in, or you're just interested in what we're going to be talking about, can you please just give us kind of a description about what are we referring to? What's a Steam festival or a Steam event? Like, what do they tend to look like on Steam?
So yeah, a Steam festival or a Steam event, I would say, is a celebration of games normally themed around a certain genre of game that's hosted on the Steam platform, obviously the PC platform. It's a great way to highlight games which are coming soon in that genre, or to celebrate existing games with them being on sale, having discounts, that sort of thing as well. We also look to include exclusive content in our festivals. A lot of our festivals, as I'll probably get into, but like Digital Tabletop Fest, for example, we would have exclusive gameplay for some of our games. We would have roundtable discussions with people who are involved with Auroch, but also third party guests and things like that as well. So really, it's sort of like a celebration of a certain topic or genre that's open to, like, Auroch obviously participates in it as well, but it's open to the wider gaming dev community as well.
Yeah, and it's really cool as well. We see all sorts of themed events. So we do SimFest and Digital Tabletop Fest. So it's we look into tabletop RPGs and simulation games and genres, but there are festivals like London Game Fest, which is all the developers from London can submit and show off, and we get to get really excited about folks that come from that part of the UK. We get to see Steam's own events as well that they run. So this is things like their Scream Festival event at the time of recording. This is giving us a bit of an insight into actual timelines. They've got their Scream Fest at the moment, which is their Halloween celebration of all scary games out there. So it's a really nice, I think, community nod. It's fun for players, it's fun for devs. We get to, I don't know, just take a different tact and a different approach to these kinds of things. It's not just like, let's put our game on sale and see what happens. It's like, no, we're actually going to bring together a certain community. We're actually going to be reaching out to players and connecting with them on something that they enjoy and that we enjoy.
I think especially as well, it's helpful that we run festivals which are quite close to the games we make. Yep. So we do make simulation games. We do like make sort of like tabletop, like tabletop adjacent games as well, because if it's digital tabletop, it's kind of like, it could be do with the IP, it could be down to the game itself is based on a board game, like that sort of thing. So yeah, it's just things that we're really enthusiastic about and want to celebrate.
Exactly, we're a bunch of nerds over here at Auroch, like many others. And I guess that's partly why, actually, my next question is, why are they important to us as a studio running these events or festivals? I know for me, I've dipped my toes into running these festivals and helping from a biz dev side. I think it's, to me, important to connect with other developers, it opens up a good dialogue for communication as well with each other. But what do you think, Simon, on your point of view?
I think for us, they're important to us as a studio because it helps us reach out to that wider developer space, the publisher side of things. Like, it just helps to strengthen those relationships which you might already have in place or you might be looking to start up, kind of thing. And Jess, you from the biz dev side of things as well, you'll obviously know how important those relationships are going forward. But yeah, I just feel like it's easy to think, oh yeah, we'll put our games in there, they'll be really beneficial for us, but that's really not the main point of hosting a Steam festival, because it's so much bigger than just putting your games in there. You can, of course, have a Steam dedicated sale for your, like, all the games in your catalogue and that sort of thing as well, but an actual Steam festival is more of a celebration, as we've said before, of the wider genre, and with that comes speaking to developers which you've never spoke to before or worked with, and existing ones as well. So it's just really important to us, basically.
Yeah, and I suppose from a slightly selfish point of view, it also gives us a chance to talk to people from our favorite games, which is nice. I can't tell anyone now, but I think we've got some fun stuff lined up for Digital Tabletop Fest 4. It's a little sneak preview for you folks listening. And I'm really excited to chat to some of the, you know, the panel members of stuff that we're organizing. So from that, there is that aspect as well. But I love games. I love playing games. That's why I'm a game dev. The two kind of go hand in hand.
You mentioned just now, Simon, this whole thing really is a celebration, right? So it's no surprise to me that you describe it that way, because the vibe always kind of strikes me as something just like that. But behind the scenes, what would you say is the creative process behind all of that? And do you consider that some really hard work? I mean, it must be hard work putting it together, but then it's like, you know, putting something together like this must be quite a thrilling experience, I'd imagine.
Yeah, totally. So like when I first joined Auroch, like my first big project was Digital Tabletop Fest 3 Blood and Dice, which took place in March of 2023, so earlier this year. And this was the first festival which we had ran totally on our own. Like before, we had ran two Digital Tabletop Fest events. We had ran SimFest. Both of these festivals, there was three in total, I believe. They were ran in partnership with Steam. They were handling quite a lot of it, and Auroch was sort of dealing with the content side of things, which there was plenty of content for those earlier festivals. So it was sort of like finding a process that worked for Digital Tabletop Fest 3. I should probably start saying Blood and Dice, because that would just be simpler. So yeah, like Blood and Dice earlier this year, it was more so trying to figure out a process which worked for us. And since then, we have had Blood and Dice, obviously. We have had SimFest in the summer, which again, sort of, we took our learnings from the previous one, applied it to that, and then now we've got Digital Tabletop Fest 4 coming out next year. It's sort of like, I'm like, are we allowed to talk about this?
we say it's coming. It's coming
at some point. But yeah, like we've just had learnings from those previous festivals, and they sort of like add up to where we're at just now, and sort of like streamline the process really a lot. So Matt, you were talking about like the amount of work that it took. So thinking about when I was like sorting out Blood and Dice, I was like, right, here's a list of games which we could have, like, and there was plentiful games. Like, we didn't have any in mind, a number. It would be like 100 games would be good. That would be good. So like reaching out to loads of developers, publishers, that sort of thing. But I reached out to them all individually. So this is like, my outlook is like exploding, basically, with the amount of emails which are there. So it's a lot of work with that. But like since then, we have ran SimFest, for example, in the summer there, of summer of 2023. Alongside our partners at Strafe On, who we ran the festival with, which was an absolute delight. Like, yep. Working with Strafe On, they provided us with such great knowledge, because they've done Steam festivals loads of times, and their processes and things. So we've took on some of their workings, and we've applied that going forward as well. So it's really just learning from each festival about what worked, what didn't work. And that's something which I was always keen on. It's like, the main thing you want to hear back from is, of course, you wish all attendees, as in the players, have a great time, but also what is it like for the developers, the publishers? Is it something which they would, oh yeah, I would love to do that again. Everything was great. Communication was great. The content which you gave us was fantastic. Like, if there's anything that we can simplify or make better, then we want to hear about it. But it is, of course, there's a lot of work that goes into it. So you've got the games themselves. Like, I was thinking about this earlier. It's not just like someone from the outside, maybe, who doesn't know a lot about social media, just going, oh yeah, you just put a tweet out and whatever, that's you. It's like, no, there's so much more that goes into it than what you perceive to be, especially in the back end. So there is, of course, working with Steam. There's getting the games involved in there as well, which, if you're wanting a wide variety, it's reaching out to like AAA publishers, developers, that sort of thing, to right down to the really small indie games, which maybe they've not got a lot of traction just now. But it's just about having that such wide variety. It's getting the art sorted out for the page as well, like the branding that you're going to have. It's having the content planned around about that. Like, there's so much things goes into it. I mean, I would be here all day. Pretty much that would be the full episode if I had to rhyme off everything.
I think it'd be the full season, actually, yeah, totally. Simon. Yeah, just breaking it down into the different aspects. But yeah, no, that's... I've seen a lot of the work that you put into it, and the retrospectives running afterwards, always making sure to get as much feedback as we can from our developers. We also look at the forums and the community engagement, and seeing content creators getting involved with the festival, which is really fun. They have a great time sharing it with their communities, which is lovely. Steam have a lot of fun as well from their end. It's really fun working with them and having really cool conversations with them about different ideas. I think for me, the fun part of the creative process is actually probably like the panels and the let's plays and thinking about, okay, who do we want to invite? What's the theming here? What can we cover that hasn't been covered before? How can we take a really esoteric idea and actually apply it further? So like with Blood and Dice, when we had the panel where we were getting folks from Stunlock and Kenneth Height as well to talk about vampires in gaming, like we had an actual tabletop designer talking to video game developers who don't usually get to talk to each other before, or in previous ones where we've done we've invited ESA astronauts to take part into panels, and like that's astronauts meets video games. That's really cool. We've had some really fun conversations and facilitations of conversations through the means of Mars Horizon, and hopefully we will Mars Horizon 2 in the future as well. That's something we would love to continue doing, is these melding of worlds that don't usually get to meld. I think that's a great opportunity that these festivals can do.
And seeing the reaction from that as well. Like you said then, like you put in these people in a space where the interests are somewhat mutual, but the backgrounds, the disciplines are almost worlds apart sometimes. And you get those brains in a space and you just see the reaction and the output. And you think, wow, what an interesting conversation that was. And that just must be just so present throughout many, certainly with the panels, especially like with that sort of stuff, blows my mind. Amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as well, just kind of thinking and moving the conversation along a little bit now, is like we're pretty much, I'd say, Steam event veterans at this point. We've run 6 of them. We've supported and co-hosted others as well. We have plans to keep that consistent as well going forward and continue these for as long as we can. And I guess it's quite nice to actually take a moment to reflect back and ask Simon, which one's been your favourite so far and why? And you can comment on ones you didn't put together as well. That's okay.
See, it's sort of like I'll come with like a bit of a bias, because like in my time here, I've been involved in 2 directly, like being sort of Auroch's point of contact for them, kind of responsibility for them more so. But yeah, for me, I would definitely say Blood and Dice from Ella this year was, even though it was sort of like my introduction to Steam festivals, it was just like it almost felt like I had created it almost, because there wasn't a plan that was set there before me. Like there was things like, oh yeah, this is how we did content before, or this is how we did it before, but because we were doing it completely on our own, it was sort of like, it's yours to do as you wish. And my background in gaming is from PR, and I've worked in marketing for like 13 years or whatever at this point. But when I worked in PR, it was sort of like, yeah, you could send like a MailChimp out to everyone and just what, but if you do that direct contact, like that's what really makes or breaks these relationships. So that's why I was emailing every single person. So to do that, like it, at the end of it, we took like a post-mortem, and I'm like, yeah, here's how many emails I sent like for this festival. And that's of course one of the challenges of game dev, is there's just, depending on the size of the developer, the publisher, whatever, they might be spinning so many plates and they're not able to get back to you and like as fast as you would like them to, because they've got so many other things going on. But then that you're having to chase and follow up all these different people and all that stuff, and that just comes with the territory. So it's just more so learning about that, especially for me starting off by doing that as my first kind of big task at Auroch, a big project. But yeah, definitely that I would say would be my favorite, not just because I sort of identified a lot of the games, which I was like, these would be great to have, looking at games that we'd had at past events, like ones which will be coming soon, all that kind of stuff as well. Like that was just really exciting to see, actually have a glimpse into the future and be like, oh, what games are coming soon? Like what ones are people really looking forward to? Like starting up those relationships with developers, publishers as well, which are still kind of ongoing to this day. And the content as well, Jess, as you were speaking about earlier, like the vampire panel was like so interesting because it's people who are involved in games, game dev, kind of like vampire adjacent games, and then people who just aren't in video games at all. Like they may be in like writing novels about vampires, or they might be like into that specific genre of like tabletop games and stuff like that, like physical rather than video games. And just having that perspective just like really opens up your eyes, and it like allows you to see how all this comes together and influences the video games, which we're all there to celebrate.
Fairness is super important to us when running these types of events. And how on earth do you go about that? Where do you start with something like that?
So fairness for me would be, we've got complete control over how the page is set up. So the festival itself on Steam, we control basically which games are at the front, which games could be at the top, and the different sections, that kind of thing. But the fairness really comes into it. You can randomize these. So people have got an equal opportunity to be at the front, at the very top of the page, at the front, that kind of thing. Like, so when people first click on the page, they'll be like, oh yeah, that game's in this. They might add it to their wish list. They might purchase it. They might whatever, like play the demo, that sort of thing. Like there's a whole host of sort of follow-ons that the guests, sort of like the players, that is, can do when they're on the page. So yeah, like we're just kind of looking to invite as many people as we can, like see what games they're interested in submitting, and just basically go through those entries and see, do they hit that certain criteria? Do they meet what kind of games we're looking for? Because the one thing we're looking for is a widespread. We don't just want all AAA games. We don't want all like AA games. Like we don't want all indies. We want a very widespread, just so as many, we can show the different levels of a certain genre of games and celebrate that where we're there. So I definitely think fairness is such a big thing that we look to promote as a studio as well. And it's something which is reflected, I believe, in our events and Steam festivals as well.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, fair play is literally one of our pillars here at Auroch. We have kind of six pillars that outline our core values as a studio and give us good strategic, you know, goals to align to, or to, you know, whenever we're thinking about any of the work we do, we always check in with our pillars and say, do these fit in with these? Do they align with it? And fair play is one of those. So fair play to the players, and fair play to us as well as the devs. And when we're doing these festivals, that fair play extends to other developers too that we're inviting in, because we want to make sure that the visibility is fair and equal. We want to make sure that we're asking people about their upcoming games and giving them the opportunity to shout about the games they've been working really hard on for the last several years, and that they're really excited to share with a wider audience. So we will always accept applications from people who are, you know, 12 months out from launching their game. They've got a Steam page up and they want to take part in the festival, but they're not out yet. That's fine. We want to have upcoming sections and be able to shout out about those as well. And like Simon was saying as well, like we have criteria, but it's not strict. We don't gate people by, you know, you must have a certain review score or something like that. It's like, actually, we take a look at each of the games and we go, do you fit with the festival? And, you know, And even then, like if people apply and don't get in, we still want to make sure that we contact them again for future festivals too. It's hard. It's one of the hardest parts, I think, of the process is the choosing up.
Yeah, totally. I feel like the fairness question is such like a big topic when it comes to Steam Festival, because you are looking to meet the needs of so many developers, so many publishers. So you like our different festivals, for example. As looking at, like, we might limit the amount of games which one publisher or developer is allowed to enter into the festival, because if we've got one publisher, for example, who's got 10 games, we're like, yeah, that's fine. Like, that's quite a big chunk of how many games are allowed into this festival that we're looking to put on. And yeah, that can just affect, as we're looking to build relationships with other developers, other publishers, it could have a negative effect on it as well if their needs aren't being met, or if you're disappointing them in ways which could be avoided.
Mm. There must be a good degree of pressure that comes with that, because when you've got so many different developers, publishers, and all these different types of people throughout the games industry and adjoining industries, perhaps they're all coming with a different background, right? And you're giving them the platform on which to showcase their thing, and you're the conduit in the middle of all these things, the catalyst in the middle of it all. Where's your headspace? Like the night before, you've got all the plates spinning, everyone's coming tomorrow, and you're about to hit the button. And what is that like? I'm curious to know, like, where's your headspace the day before this thing actually takes place?
So like, I can only compare it to something which I've been involved in, like game launches and things like that before. So it's like, it's sort of like that build up moment where it's like you're about to hit launch or release the game or whatever, like it hits a certain time. Like it's just that excitement, because you're kind of like, so much work's went into this, just like a game, like so much time goes into developing it, researching a whole host of stuff. Like everyone can look back and go, wow, what a journey that was. And especially for me, like looking at those different relationships which I've built up and the games that are in it and the content we've got, all that stuff. Like it's when it's all said and done, it's really rewarding. By the time, of course, it's nerve-wracking because you're like, oh, there's technology at play here. Like, will the streams go on without a hitch? Will the page launch, for example, as is planned, which there's been a few times with, like, when pages haven't gone live or that sort of thing. So it's just been unforeseen circumstances, which are kind of like, it makes you nervous, but you can always follow up on it as long as you've got a plan of action and you're kind of well-placed. You've got the right contacts as well, of course. That always helps.
It does always help. Yeah. I'd also like give a shout out to Steam on this one and their documentation and all the processes they've put in place to give this level of autonomy to us as devs. I can see all the hard work they've put in on their side of things to be able to enable us to put in this kind of work. So it's a great process. It's something that we would encourage others to get involved in. If you're a developer listening to this right now and you've never run one before, you've never taken part in one before, you're always welcome to email me. My email address is on the Auroch website, and I can stick it in the notes below, but you're always welcome to email and say, next time you do a Steam event, this is our game and this is what we're interested in. Can we be part of it? So it's not information we want to keep quiet and keep to ourselves. We want to share it with the wider community, in my opinion anyway. It's a win for players, it's a win for us, and it's a win for other devs as well when we can all come together and have these celebration events. Everyone involved has a good time with them.
Yeah, just thinking about, like, Matt, you were saying about, like, how does it feel the night before, or like just as it's gone live. Like, I still remember, like, the delight I felt when I actually saw this festival on Steam's front page. Now, granted, that's not something which is guaranteed with a festival. It's not something which is, like, promised, like, way ahead of time. Like, it's not something which is, like, every festival will be on the front page. But to even see it in the same section as, like, the weekend deals, like, how many people use Steam every single day will be seeing that for, like, the next, like, 5 days. Like, and just the amount, like, thinking about that, it just makes me, like, really excited more than nervous, because it's like, yeah, that is great artwork that, like, the artist has done there. Like, because for ours, we've hired, that's me not blowing Auroch's own horn here. Like, we get, although they could do an amazing job, we get a sort of freelancer to do our artwork for us, or have done for the previous ones, and just seeing them capture our vision and just like, yeah, that's amazing artwork, and we're really proud of that, to see that on the homepage. And then when you go into the festival itself, it's just such a great feeling.
Yeah, completely. Honestly, like, a little shout out to Lady Red here.
Absolutely.
I'll give a link to their stuff below, because great to work with, absolutely fantastic, and so talented as well. And really aligns with our intents and hopes as well, to bring the essence of inclusion and diversity that we always want to bring in. So the character art that they come up with and the theming and everything like that, making sure it's accessible for people. So anyone with colorblindness or anyone who, you know, seeing themselves represented for a disability they may have, that kind of thing, like not to, never to tokenize it at all, but just to normalize it and bring it into awareness. I think it's a really cool way to do that. And it's lovely working with an artist who feels the same way that we do about these kinds of things.
Yeah, Matt, like you were saying earlier on, like about marketing, like flying under the radar kind of thing, like just getting the marketing being the main thing. Like, see, even if we see one person going, oh, that I can't believe that that's like, that character art's got like a hearing aid, that is amazing. Like, I love seeing that. Like, to just know that that one person has like saw it, like what we're doing and being like, I feel included in that. Like, it's just such a good feeling that we are like, we are doing what should be done. Like, it should be a more diverse character that's been shown. It should be, like, it doesn't have to just be, like, yeah. So, it's just such a great feeling.
Forever brain slammed by the expertise of our colleagues. I mean, you mentioned at the start, at the head of this episode, Jess, that the amount of work that goes into putting a festival like this together, I mean, it is a huge amount of work, a huge amount of energy and expertise to bring all those moving pieces together. You're dealing with people, you're dealing with time frames, time zones maybe, you know, it's a hell of a lot of expertise, and we are in a position, a very, very fortunate position to be well equipped with people now that can just do this stuff.
We have tried to make the process as efficient as we possibly can for our own sanity as well as just ease's sake, you know, and it builds in a bit of risk mitigation as well. I mean, someone else can take it on if they needed to. I would not want to be in a position of taking on an entire festival, but I reckon I could give it a crack now. But I just wouldn't want to, because it's just, it's a lot of work. You need a team. You need your team behind you. You need your colleagues behind you. But overall, it's very worthwhile. I think being able to put on something that's not only for us as a studio, but also for other game devs and also for the players, like remembering that they are that third person that's involved. Like, it's us as game devs, it's Steam or Valve as a whole, and then it's players. And that's the important thing, is that we're keeping that relationship win-win-win for everyone.
Yeah.
That's what makes these festivals and events so great. And that's why it's an honor to be able to put some together and help contribute to that.
Yeah. I mean, it takes a particular type of person and particular type of set of skills to pull something like that together. I've worked on some very small event-based stuff in the past, and even that was, you know, kind of stressful and required a lot of me and the people that were involved. But on this kind of scale, I mean, I look at these things, I see the posts online, you talk to the colleagues, and you're like, damn. Wow, like where does this come from? Because all we see, and all a lot of people will see, is the thing.
Yep.
It arrives, you see a nice banner, and you know the date when it's happening, and they just see that, and that's it. But it's very easy to kind of overlook the amount of work that goes into it. So that's why it's so important to get these people onto the pod to talk about it, and to give it some context, and to give it a bit of a backstory as to where it comes from, you know?
Exactly. I completely agree. So thanks for tagging along, everyone. Thanks for giving this a listen. And thank you again to Simon for being spectacular as always. Yeah, bye.
In the fast-paced realm of the games industry, the best way to keep up to date with everything happening at Auroch Digital is to follow us on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, using the handle at Auroch Digital. And we're on LinkedIn too, as Auroch-Digital-Limited. We also encourage you to sign up to our mailing list to receive regular newsletters that go into more detail about our projects, and to join our community Discord, who are the first to hear our updates. You can subscribe to the mailing list and join the Discord on our website, aurochdigital.com. And whilst you're on the website, be sure to check out our recruitment page under aurochdigital.com/jobs, where we post all employment opportunities. Links to all these socials and more are in the episode description. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you in the next one.